following episode of Dave's Video Graveyard contains spoilers and naughty words. Listener discretion is advised.
Have you ever bought or rented a videotape that wasn't quite right? It may have been
Dave's Video Graveyard. Of all the film podcasts in the world, this is definitely one of them. Covering the best of the worst and the worst of the best of all things film. This is Dave's Video Graveyard with Casey and Dave.
It is Dave's Video Graveyard for another week. A pleasure to be with you, whatever it is you may be doing. Now, I'm going to start things off this week a little bit differently. I'm on my own this week because, believe it or not, I've been so fucking busy. I haven't had a chance to do any recording with anyone. I've got so many great guests in the pipeline, but honestly, I've been so fucking lazy just because of how crazy life has been of late. So thank you, but I wanted to start off by saying sorry to everyone. There was no episode last week. And I know we always pretend that we don't give a shit. Well, I know Casey doesn't give a shit, but I genuinely feel bad whenever we miss an episode. So I just wanted to start off by saying sorry, but also pretending not to give a fuck. So, you know, we're nowhere better than when I started talking. So sorry, but anyway, it is a pleasure to be with you. Like I said, it's been a fucking crazy few months, and it kind of culminated all in the last few weeks, which has been absolute bedlam. And the reason that we didn't get into the studio, that was a little bit held up, which I'll talk a bit about afterwards. But yeah, no, thank you for joining me. I'm going to be absolutely fucking rambling because I've just had one of those Mango Loco energy drinks at 9 p.m. on a Saturday night, so I know I'm not sleeping tonight, but that's when I get my best porn watching done, because obviously with a family-filled house, I've got to wait for everyone to go to bed. So now that I'm all charged up, I'm sure there's going to be many pages. It's going to be one of those good old-fashioned ones where I take my pants all the way off and I manage to get to like page number 47 of the search results. It's going to be a good time, so I'm looking forward to that. Now, I just wanted to run down a lot of stuff that's been going on lately, because I haven't really been watching a huge amount of shit, but I will be talking about the stuff that I did get to. So yeah, starting off with, I guess, the big thing that happened a few weeks ago, the Ninja Turtles screening that I had for part of Radical Rewind, which is something that I run with DVG All-Star Brett from the Adelaide Toy and Comic Fair. And one night we're at Scotty from Toy Power Podcast House opening Gladiator cards. It was a fucking surreal night, but I hold it very dearly because it's not often you get to open amongst a bunch of drinking adults, get to open fucking collector cards. And it was just really cool because, like, it's really weird. Like, everyone always remembers fondly with rose-tinted glasses how good Gladiators was. It's also super fucking camp, and I don't think people remember that. Like, these are all professional Channel 9 photo shoots of a lot of the gladiators and stuff. You know, the screen caps from the show, but there were so many promo shots of, like, Taipan and Condor and all the dude gladiators. And for lack of a better term, it was just super gay, the photos. Like, they've just got this real gay energy. The dudes are all muscly and oiled up, and it was such a good night. Anyway, I digress. We're opening these cards, and Brett and I were talking about, because for years Brett has run a thing he calls Toys and Beers, which whenever there's a big film, particularly Marvel or comic book related, he would hire out a local cinema and about 20 to 30, sometimes 40 people would all get together. And someone bitched about him not putting trailers before the movie. So he did it one time, and he featured the theatrical trailer of Terminator 2. And it wasn't actually the theatrical trailer. It was the director's cut that has Michael Biehn in it. Now, for anyone that's a Terminator 2 nerd, as cool it is to see Kyle Reese come back in Terminator 2, it's so fucking annoying because it's just, to me, it's not canon. It's not, you know, hashtag not my Terminator 2. So I was bitching about it. And Brett said, well, all right, next screening we have, you can do the trailers. So I decided to do some movies I love and some fucking terrible movies, such as Tammy and the T-Rex or Theodore Rex, which, if you remember that movie, it's the one with Whoopi Goldberg and a T-Rex that's like a la the 90s Jim Henson Dinosaur Show. It's so fucking shit. It's such a bad movie. I revisit it quite often, that and Upworld, aka A Gnome Called Norm. And it's so fucking shit, honestly. Like, if you ever fed, or I don't know if you've ever seen how big a shit a Rottweiler does, but if you fed him like a KFC fucking feast, then the dog did a shit. That shit that it did would be half as big of a piece of shit that Theodore Rex is. But anyway, I digress. Brett said, why don't you do the trailers? So I did the trailers. And when we were at Scotty from Toy Power's house, we were like, you know what? Let's open it up to the public. We should start screening stuff that we love. And it was just this idea that, like, you know, when you fucking had a few drinks and you like throw an idea out there, it was like, oh yeah, we're definitely going to do that one day. Why don't we do blah, blah, blah? So we sat on the idea, and here's a little, oh, fuck, this story's all over the shop. But then when Casey and I used to do DVG on the radio, and it was in Semaphore. So I had made a location pin for social media that explained that DVG was in Semaphore. When we moved to Casey's studio and started doing the podcast exclusively, we obviously didn't want Casey's house up there on the internet, but we still wanted to tag everything as being at DVG. So one day I went down Semaphore Road and went to the public toilet to do a piss. And honestly, that shit I described just before wouldn't even be half as fucking heinous as it looked like. I don't know if you remember the movie from 1995, Desperado. There is a bit where the drug runners have a hidden part of the nightclub that they hide and do all their dealings. And it's behind an absolute shit-covered cubicle. Times that by 7, and that's what this public toilet on Semaphore Road looked like this day. So I thought this is the perfect place to make DVG. It also happens to be about 5 houses down from the Odeon Star Cinema and Semaphore. So as happenstance would happen, I got a message on DVG's account saying, hey guys, I run the social media for the Odeon Star. We're looking at branching out and working with local creators. We noticed that you're within like 5 houses of our building. We cannot find the location. Like, we've put in the address. It says you're about, like, you know, 200 feet from our door. We cannot find it. And then I had to explain to these people that own Odeon that that's actually just that fucked up public toilet is actually DVG. And the reason we made that like that is because people can leave reviews of the toilet, but it's called Dave's Video Graveyard. So if you Google now Dave's Video Graveyard, you'll probably see the top listing is a South Australian public toilet. And I'll tell you what, it does not come highly recommended, but it's perfect because it's just full of disgusting shit, just like the most part this podcast is. So anyway, they reached out and he's like, oh, I'm really interested in your podcast, and, you know, you do a lot of stuff on social media. We're keen to get to, you know, whether or not we do a podcast together and talk about the cinema, whatever. And I said, oh, well, and, you know, this is where you've really got to sell yourself. I said, oh, my mate Brett has been running these screenings and I've been helping out with them. They're really popular. We've been doing really well, you know, doing it for years and really fucking pumped up the story. And he's like, well, tell you what, next time you're in the cinema, come and say g'day, introduce yourselves. So we happen to be going to see Christmas Vacation because Odeon ran like all these amazing old Christmas movies last Christmas. So me and Brett went and introduced ourselves and absolutely fucking lied through our teeth how big Toys and Beers are. Don't get me wrong, Toys and Beers is sick, but it also is just a group of friends going to the movies that they would have seen anyway. So we're like, yeah, it's really successful, really popular, blah, blah, blah. And they said, oh, would you ever consider putting on stuff at our cinema? And we were like, yeah. And, you know, because we fucking lied through our teeth how big that we were. And they said, well, come down, have a meeting. We met with them and we had all these massive ideas and we didn't want to tell the cinema about them because we're like, oh, these fuckers are going to steal our ideas and not let us do it and tell us no. And, you know, fuck them. We met Joe, the guy that runs it, owns it, and he was such a fucking cool guy. And within like 5 minutes, he's like, well, you guys are serious. You clearly want to do this. So he pretty much gave us the keys to the cinema, and it was fucking insane because, like, we really went as far as we could with, obviously, the first one we did was Batman, and it fucking sold out the day of, about 2 hours before, which was such a cool feeling. Like, honestly, we were like, oh, they had small cinemas that held about 100 people. And we're like, yep, let's do the first one then. And he's like, no. You do the main cinema. I won't show anything afterwards, so, you know, you guys can hang around afterwards, whatever you want. Joe was so accommodating and exciting. So we kind of like, it was one of those things where we talked ourselves into a corner where we're like, yeah, fucking, we can do anything. You know, Brett runs the toy and comic fair. It's massive. Brett knows what he's doing. And I'll tell you what, the partnership with Brett has been fucking incredible because this is insane. I've never dealt with someone that sorts out their Gmail inbox. Like, if you logged into DaveStudioGraveyard@gmail.com, the actual inbox, there is me and Casey sending each other porn links that we can't send over social media because they get flagged. There's absolutely fucked up videos that I've sent to myself rather than save them to my phone. Like, just, it is an absolute treasure trove of fucking just rubbish. Like, honestly, the world, the internet of all places would be a better place if the Gmail account wasn't there. But anyway, me and Brett now share a Radical Rewind Gmail account, and I've got to tell you, a life changer. He sorts everything out because he's so business-minded with the toy fair. It's amazing to, like, know where everything is at any given time. I don't even name. I quite often will need photos off my phone, so I just email them to myself. And it's so funny because I just, like, type in, like, X, Y, Z, 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 you know, just absolutely pound the keyboard and send it to myself. It's incredible the way Brett has set out. And I just want to send a shout out to him because I know this is just the most self-obsessed inside baseball episode, but honestly, life-changing to have someone setting up a Gmail in such a nice way so we know what's about this thing. We know correspondence with the cinema. Like, it's fucking really cool. But anyway, I digress once again, which is what I'm going to do. That's why I need Casey here, because she at least keeps me topical on what I'm supposed to be talking about. So we had the Batman one that went well. We wanted to do things that, like, we wanted to create the cinemas we grew up in. And I've got to say, the Odeon Star is a fucking, it is a product all to itself. It is honestly like someone shut the doors, and this isn't an insult at all. It's why I fucking love this place. Someone shut the doors in 1996, put over like one of those tarps, like in Breaking Bad when they spray for bugs, put one of them over the building, left it until 2024 and opened it again. It's got just that charm, the carpet, everything looks like you'd see at a cinema in 1994. So we really wanted to run with that. So I made some cardboard standees. We had like some cool friends of ours that run like some cool shit, like King Kaiju and stuff like that. We had them set up like little market stalls upstairs. We had just anything we could think of to do, and it, particularly being our first one, was so nervous it wasn't going to go well. But anyway, we pulled it off and it was amazing. So a couple of weeks ago, we did our second one. We didn't want to burn one of my all-time favorite movies being Ninja Turtles 1990. So we held that for the second one, and because we knew that kind of would go bigger than Batman. And I've got to say, and this isn't judgmental, it's just me being a dick, Turtle fans are fucking heaps weirder than Batman fans, and I never thought that to be the case, because it's like being a movie lover, I run into a lot of John Carpenter fans and stuff, and like horror movie fans, and I always like find there's like a divide. Even though I grew up like loving a lot of horror movies and Evil Dead and stuff, The Thing's my all-time favorite movie. When I meet those real diehard horror fans, I'm always like, oh, fucking look at these weirdos. They're obsessed with horror movies. And then it's like, I'm just obsessed about something else. But that's how my brain has always worked. My obsession is cooler than everyone else's obsessions. And I judge everyone for what they like and then get upset if anyone judges me. But that's how I live my life. And I don't think it's going to change anytime soon. Anyway, we decided to do Ninja Turtles for the second one. Odeon Star, we're like, yep, no problems. So I got to program an hour, and Brett collaborated heavily, an hour of, and I will say right now, don't let me sound like I'm taking anything away from Brett. It's 100% 50-50 with the amount of shit that gets done. Like, he brings so much to it. I bring so much to it. I take all the credit for all of it. So anything I say about it, make sure you know that pretty much Brett's doing more work than I am. But we programmed like an hour of stuff to show before the cinema. So 7 o'clock, people come up for the markets and hang out and stuff. Like I got all my favorite stuff out of my turtle collection. put it behind this glass display area at the cinema and like had a little display going, which was such a fucking self-important thing. It was so good to have some of my collection there and people taking like fucking selfies with it and stuff. I just felt, yeah, it's the coolest a fucking adult toy collector could ever feel. Like, honestly, so fucking lame, but I was so stoked with it. So anyway, we had an hour of stuff. Like, we showed an old episode of Trapdoor, an old episode of Feral TV, heaps of old commercials, particularly Adelaide-centric ones, like Magic Mountain, you know, all this kind of stuff, which got such a great response. Then the trailers played. Like, we give away stuff thanks to all, like, the sponsors that we had. I can't think of them all now, but the most important one being Toy Power Podcast, because they're our boys and they fucking give us such cool shit. I buy a gift from Dave's Video Graveyard, and Casey, I love, and this is why I'll always love Casey. She's so true to herself. It is just honestly the dad that gets up on Christmas Day and sits back and watches the kid open the presents and real happy because they're getting half the credit. So I always think of Casey as the member of DVG that signs the birthday card but didn't do any of the work. But that's why I love her, and I never want that to change because she's my absolute... She is the Robin to my Batman for sure, or I'm the Batman to her Robin, or I'm the Robin to her Batman. However she sees it is how it is because she's the most valuable part of DVG. Anyway, so we did the screening. We give away all the prizes, then we did trailers. I think the trailers this time were, from memory, I did Big Trouble in Little China, which everyone thought was going to be the next movie that we showed, and that made me realize how many people fucking love that movie. I just thought it was a niche one that kind of I loved so much. Tammy and the T-Rex is a movie that Casey spent years fucking droning on about till I finally watched it. And it's funny because you watch the trailer and it looks like a family-friendly 90s, like, she was a hot girl and he was a T-Rex. Like, that's honestly the vibe the trailer gives. But it's really trauma-level violent, a lot of it. Like, it's quite gory and quite violent. So watching that at the time with Ollie, who was such a little kid, was pretty fucked because he was like, what's going on? This is fucked. I'm like, yeah, sorry, dude. So showed that trailer, which the cinema erupted. They were so fucking loving it, clapping it, laughing, which as much as I fucking hate clapping in the cinema, I think Radical Rewind is going to be the thing that makes me have to change my opinion because the amount of hollering, cheering, when the movie started, there's obviously the like that score that goes throughout the real funky fucking late 80s, early 90s theme that goes throughout the movie. People were clapping along to it and I was just like, what are you fuckers doing? Stop. Please stop. But everyone was having fun. There was hooting and hollering. It was fucking just such... It's not often that I get excited for something and then it turns out to be exactly what I expected to be. And I'm going to say that Radical Rewind so far has been. It's been so much fun and I don't think we'll ever stop. Like it's such a self-important thing that I do. And it's one of those things where like I can just picture myself sitting in an empty cinema watching like 1999's The Mummy just all on my own because everyone else has lost interest or we've stopped trying. But it was so fucking good and I'm very proud of what we did. And obviously we announced the next movie being Terminator 2 and people went fucking crazy. Within 2 weeks of us announcing it, we've already sold like more than half the tickets, which is fucking sick given that like we never even thought we'd sell out Batman. So it's been such a fun time. Anyway, the night went off fantastically, especially probably my favorite thing is that Casey got there, like not the first one, she went to the pizza place next door for Batman and the pizza took so long that like she was almost late. Because obviously you get to line up, get beers and shit when you get there. And it was so funny because this time they come a bit earlier, did photos, stuff like that. And then when she went into the cinema, like because all these people had turned up at 7, gone in and got their seats and then wandered around stuff. Casey and that had to sit next to what we affectionately describe as a potato family. It's where the family shares not just the looks but the mental capacity of potatoes and... It was fucking incredible. The guy was explaining to Casey that after the cinema, because I made custom tickets, because we want to have souvenirs to give away, so we make custom tickets. This guy was going to try and use his custom ticket to get a ride home on the bus. And it just tickled Casey in such a fucking hilarious way that I absolutely loved it. She got up at one point, went to the toilet, and I heard, like, because we were sitting in front of, like, Ben Sachs and some of his family and stuff, and I heard Ben say, oh, did you just go do a shit? She's like, I did fucking shit. And this is in the middle of Ninja Turtles 1990. So it was such a good night. Self-important, much like this episode is. And we got Terminator 2 coming up, and I'm just excited for that. We've got another display, so hopefully, shout out to Trent from Toy Power for hooking up a lot of that. So we got some amazing fucking collectibles that are Terminator 2 related, and yeah, it was fucking such a good night. I was on such a high. I didn't think anything was going to top it, but funnily enough, the event of 2024 has happened. Now, I know, shout out to Brett if he's listening. It's not the Toy Fair, as much as I had a fucking amazing time. But Casey and Selena, her housemate, who always look after us, you know, they host DVG as our recording studio. We haven't been able to use the studio for a while because they've been working on this secret party idea. And I'll tell you what, every recording that we did in Casey's kitchen was worth the party that it created, because we had an Adam Sandler party. Well, Casey and Selena had an Adam Sandler party, and it was absolutely fucking next level. Like, honestly, I know I keep saying honestly. It was fucking insane. I've never been, like, I had a dress-up party for my 30th birthday. It was 80s themed. A lot of people got into it. Some people didn't dress up. It didn't really matter. This is the first costume party I've been to where everyone put in so much fucking effort. And there was hardly any, like, because you had to either dress as an Adam Sandler character or a character adjacent to, like, the Happy Madison stuff. So everyone put in so much effort and looked, you could tell, it was like you watch those movies, like, for example, Grown Ups. In the movie Grown Ups 2, they fucking have an 80s party and everyone dresses up heaps amazing, especially seeing Stone Cold Steve Austin dress as Terminator in that movie. I love that movie. I don't care what anyone says, the Grown Ups movies are fucking immaculate. So everyone dressed up. My family were invited, which at first I was like, oh, fuck, not the kids coming. But they ended up being, like, the highlight of my night because they discovered karaoke for the first time. Casey had hired a full-on karaoke setup, a la, like, fucking The Cable Guy. And it was so incredible to see the kids come alive and singing all these fucking songs. Questionable songs, watching my kids sing, like, Dennis Leary Asshole and fucking Eminem, like, rapping every words. It was quite a time. But Casey dressed up as the lunch lady from the Adam Sandler Saturday Night Live song Lunch Lady Land. And it was fucking immaculate. She had it down pat. It was so fucking incredible. Selena dressed as Miss Lippy from Billy Madison, which, funnily enough, Anita, my wife, also dressed as. So they were pretty much dressed identically, which was really funny. Deck dressed as Robbie Hart from The Wedding Singer, which so did Flowers, good friend of the show, DVG friend. She dressed as him as well. Heaps of photos. I decided, like, oh, there's no dudes with beards, and I fucking hate Kevin Hart, and there's no way I would dress as a Kevin Hart character because I've just always hated him. I think it's partly Paul Blart, but also partly I've always felt Kevin Hart. Kevin James, I should be saying. Kevin Hart's good. I fucking hate Kevin James so much because I've always felt like he just rocked up and slid it into the slot of the funny fat guy. But he's not even a stain on the shoe of Chris Farley. And I think that if Chris Farley was still around, none of us would know the name Kevin James. So I wasn't going to dress as them, even though I needed a fat guy or a guy with a beard. So I went through. At first, I was going to go as Happy Gilmore's Alan Covert and Happy Gilmore as the caddy with the big homeless man beard. I thought, oh, that's not quite enough. I want something a bit out there. So I decided, I consulted with Casey because I actually felt guilty. We spent, much like we do with this podcast, Casey and I spent ages discussing whether or not it's considered as, like, socially unacceptable for me to dress as a little person, because I decided to dress as Peter Dinklage in Pixels, aka Fire Blaster. I know everyone hates that movie. I fucking enjoy that movie. I think it's because the age my kids were when we went and saw it. They absolutely loved it and were blown away. And it's funny when you're a parent how much you'll let a movie win you over. Like, we went and saw Ready Player One at the cinemas, and my kids reacted to that movie the way that I reacted to Jurassic Park in 1993, seeing it in Broken Hill, and it was fucking... That just, it doesn't take much to win me over, man. If you cool to my kids, fucking, I have no choice but to enjoy you as a person. So, yeah, I dressed as Pixel's little person, including sticking Ugg boots to my knees and walking on my knees for photos. We spent so much time before it, Casey and I, discussing whether or not that's considered. Like, is that the thing that's going to get me cancelled in a few years' time? Like, is that ableist? Is it like, because I didn't do it in a way to make fun of Peter Dinklage, because if you've seen Pixels, Fire Blaster is the fucking coolest part of that movie, and that is hands down. A movie with fucking Josh Gad has something cool in it. I know that's very surprising, but yeah. So that's probably the thing that I'll get cancelled for, because we're like, is this the same as like, because you think of our parents' generation where they'd go to a party in fucking blackface. Like, I've seen photos, not of mum and dad, thankfully, but of my parents' generation at costume parties back in the 70s and shit. Someone there's in blackface, like someone went as Lionel Rose the boxer, just used boot polish and a fucking robe and boxing gloves. It was a sign of the times. So, you know, I wasn't trying to upset anyone, but you know, who knows, let's see what the future holds. I didn't do it with any malice, but I'm also not making excuses. Like, I know it's not a good thing to have done, but let's just see where it goes. I'm not important enough for anyone to care, but if they are, and if anyone's upset, you know, that's just something you'd have to deal with. Anyway, back to the party. All the food was themed. Casey and Selena put in so much work. They'd made a cake, which was the snake from Waterboy holding an apple in its mouth. It looked fucking insane. It actually looked like a giant shit, because obviously the snake looks terrible. They made jelly crocodiles. Let's talk about the golf course. It was fucking incredible. There was a Simpsons themed hole, and I think the highlight of that hole for me was there was a little Super Nintendo with Superintendent Chalmers painted on it, like the Ralph Wiggum joke, Super Nintendo Chalmers. I thought that was brilliant. There was a Sonic the Hedgehog and Mario holes, which were both fucking really well done. But the highlight for me was the Happy Gilmore hole, and that had the clown that gives him shit when he's learning to putt. It had the crocodile with Chubbs' hand down at the other pole, and it had the poles from the first thing he putts at the Funland, but the clown face was made out of cement, all painted up, looked fucking insane. And honestly, I don't think a party is ever going to be as fun as Casey's was. Now, many people know for like the last 7, maybe 8, maybe longer years, I haven't been a big drinker. I'll drink like once, maybe every 4 months, every 6 months, whatever. I got fucking pretty tanked at Casey's. I didn't think I would. I only took a 10-pack of Jack Daniels and Cola, left with one in my pocket, gave one to friend of the show, Alexis's partner. But the thing was, the old adage is don't mix drinks, and I thought it would be clever to have the Jacks and Coke and also have some of the cocktails that they made. One, I don't know what it was called because I wasn't quite reading or paying attention at that point other than the karaoke screen. It was Choc Mint, and it was fucking incredible. It tasted like melted choc. I don't know if anyone remembers the mint paddle pops that had the white chocolate and the lion prints on them. They were the best fucking ice cream of all time. It tasted exactly like that, and I don't like milk drinks, but the old adage is don't mix, and I'll tell you what, fucking whiskey and milk drinks, I did not feel fantastic on Sunday. I felt dusty as fuck. Funnily enough, run into everyone's favorite porn star / sex worker, Scarlett Jones, the next day, and she freaked out because she thought I was sick, but I had to explain it was... No, I've been drinking milk drinks and singing Don't Stop Believing, and apologies to anyone at the party because I think potentially me and my family sang Journey's Don't Stop Believing at least 3 times. I sang, I think the highlight of the night was me and Casey doing duets. We did En Vogue's Don't Let Go. I did a solo performance of Savage Garden's To the Moon and Back. I kind of got to a point where I found out how to skip other people's songs. And so there was a good point where I'm not sure if it was me being boisterous and overbearing, but I was just skipping other people's songs or singing them if I knew them. And I don't think everyone was too polite to tell me to fuck off. So I got away with I put on a mini concert. It was a real early days of Diamond Sin's fucking reunion where I just sang Don't Stop Believing over and over again. Shout out to Saxy and his family. Ree, his amazing wife, was giving me like a mountain of fucking these drinks. She has the most incredible way of finding these flavorful alcoholic drinks. Some of them I don't even know they were alcohol, but they tasted like lollies. And honestly, if you ever need to get sneaky drunk, I think Ree's the person to hook you up because this stuff tasted fucking incredible. And to add to it, I have a rule of not doing anything on Sunday. It's not a religious thing. I'm violently non-religious, but I've always had a thing that Sunday's a fun day, and I find fun in staying home and sleeping. So I make a rule not to do anything Sunday, but I made the exception because it was the coolest thing in Adelaide. It was Brett's Comic and Toy Fair on the Sunday after Casey's Saturday night party. And I always feel guilty because I will admit Sarah and Brett run a show like nobody's fucking business. That's why they've been doing it for 10 years. And it's why it's like thousands of people go to their events. They're so fucking well run. Everyone has fun, nothing but smiles. It makes me jealous as fuck, to be honest. And that's been alleviated a little bit by doing Radical Rewind, but the amount of cool shit, and they've always let me in for free. They let the family in for free. They fucking, Brett always hooks me up. He's such a fucking cool guy. So is Sarah. I'm such a fan of them both as a couple. Got to marry him, which was fucking cool. I wasn't the celebrant, but I was the DJ and the MC. I decided to pay back. I was like, I'm not setting up fucking tables. That's too much work. I work too hard during the week. So I was like, hey, do you want me to take photos for the event? I'm happy to walk around with my camera that I paid too much money back in the day just to shoot music videos for Diamond Sins. Would you like me to take photos? He's like, yeah, man. I said, I'll even come in early before it opens and take photo of a lot of the toys people have and stuff. He's like, oh, yeah, man, that'd be incredible. So I also didn't think about that I'd have my first hangover in almost a decade. So I was literally fucking dying. That's where I run into Scarlett Jones. Well, we kind of planned to meet up because she is a huge PlayStation 1 and 2 collector, and there's always heaps of that stuff there. So we planned to meet up for a little bit and catch up and hang out for a bit. And when she got there, she honestly thought I was fucking sick. And given the industry she's in, she can't afford to get sick. So she's like, stay the fuck away from me. And I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. I'm so fucking hungover. It's not funny. I'm dying. I've had like two grape, which is the, you know what? Maximus is better than Powerade and better than Gatorade. I don't care what anyone says. You can get like 17 liters of Maximus for 40 cents. And it's just, it's quality and quantity. And I'll die on that hill because fuck yeah, Maximus. I drank like three grape ones to the point where my piss just straight smelled like birthday cake, which worried me because I'm like, that's a sign of having diabetes. But it was just that I drank more than a liter of grape flavored Maximus. So, yeah, caught up with her. That was really cool. Caught up with heaps of friends and some really cool people taking photos. Anytime it got awkward because of how hungover I was, I pretend I need to go take photos elsewhere and just fucked off on people. Saw a friend of the show, Sean Fuster, who many would remember. Well, he's got his own accolades, but DVG friends might know him from the first Quiz Your Pants, where he got his ass kicked by Trent from Toy Power. Saw the Toy Power guys. It's always so good to see those dudes and Scott. And they got their 300th episode coming up, so that's going to be something huge, I'm sure. Shout out to those boys. I'm glad they don't include me, and I'm not upset at all. Go fuck yourself. It was such a good day. Like, honestly, I was so fucking hungover, I thought I was going to die. But at about 1 o'clock, I just did this massive sweat. And then I was freezing for the rest of the day, but there was like a comforting freezing because I was like, oh, I feel so much better now that I must have sweated out the milk drinks. What did I buy? I got a Spice Girl, which Brett bought for me, which fucking It was my second boxed Spice Girl, which I didn't realize I collected them. But now that I have two, I have to get all of them. My highlight of the day of buying things was I got a heap of those finger puppets that you used to get on 20-cent machines outside of like Coles and Woolies. There used to be one at Broken Hill Woolies, and I used to always get – it was – all I wanted was that pewter-looking phantom ring, like the skull, even though the Phantom movie fucking blows dogs. I really wanted that ring because anything with a skull on it, like Castle Grayskull, that skull tank from fucking Voltron that Saxy paid $80 for, all these – fucking things with skulls on them. I was obsessed with as kids. All I would draw as a kid were either like Mad Max style cars that look like shit, but because I couldn't draw cars, I just drew that car, which looks like a cyber tank or fucking, I don't know if anyone remembers when Inspector Gadget's car transforms halfway between transforming from the normal car to the cool Inspector Gadget car. There's about a halfway point where it's a fantastic, long, fucking cool-looking car. That's all I used to draw, that and skulls. So all I wanted was a skull ring, but you'd always end up with those finger puppets of the little creature that looked like a fire gang from Labyrinth with its arms out to its side. I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. I'm sure you've stopped listening at this point, to be honest, but, you know, I don't care. I've got to get something out there. I'm not missing 2 weeks because it makes me feel weird on the inside. I got those, which was fucking sick, and I got, I didn't know I wanted it. Like, I am a Turtles collector, and I don't really have an affinity. For me, He-Man, as much as I love Masters of the Universe, for me, the movie was always the big selling card. I fucking loved Masters of the Universe 1987's film, so I didn't really care so much about He-Man, and I don't collect it now. I don't collect Transformers. As much as I've seen the coolness and love them, I don't buy them myself, but I happened across a guy that was selling the Masters of the Universe Ninja Turtles. Now, I remember when they released them, the first photo I saw, and I think it was on Toy Power at the time, was the Donatello as Man-at-Arms. And I just thought, that sucks so bad. Because Donatello is a huge steaming, you know that shit in the fucking potty I was talking about earlier, or the public toilet that is DVG? The bigger piece of shit is Donatello from Ninja Turtles. So seeing that, I was like, oh, these aren't great. But at the toy fair, this guy was selling them, and I saw the Leonardo He-Man, and it's fucking so good. He had it there for $40, which I checked with Trent first because he's kind of my – as much as I bother him, I love that like 4 o'clock in the morning, I'll be like, I wonder how much this is worth. And so I'll just message Trent on Facebook, which I'm sure he hates. But he's always so polite, and he's like – oh, yeah, man, you'll get it for this at this place and this. So he said, yeah, $40 is great. So anyway, I went to buy it. And someone come up talking to me at the time. I can't remember who it was. But the guy working there thought I was haggling by, like, I was just trying to please both people at the same time. I was trying to talk to the guy selling it and talk to whoever it was at the time. I can't remember who it was. But I was like, it maybe came across as reluctant to buy it. So the guy's like, I'll do it for $20. And I was like, what the fuck? So it was great for him dropping it down from 40 to 20. And then I paid with a $50 note, which I don't know why. Just the way my brain works, that shit was funny as fuck. When like you're almost like someone drops down the price, almost like a, all right, poor guy, you can have it for cheap. And then you pay with way more money than it is. So I just, that just tickled me and I really enjoyed it. So I bought that and I thought it was fucking cool. I got given a heap of shit, which was awesome. Ben from Hack the Dino gave me a heap of cool shit. I think I stole stuff from the Toy Power table, which is just a tradition because, you know, I like to steal from those guys. I stole listeners for a long time until the listeners grew taste again and went like, why the fuck are we listening to this shit? But shout out to, fuck, I'm getting tired now. What about my late night wank? Shout out to the Toy Power boys. Shout out to Ben and everyone that gave me stuff. King Kaiju gave me a heap of free shit because he's awesome. Because I also tell him how shit it is. And he's like, oh, we'll just take it. Brett and Sarah, honestly, you do so well. Sam and Brioni do such a fucking cool, like, everyone there is so positive and nice. It's fucking weird that any of them are friends with me because I really like to be a fucking asshole to all them because it tickles me being a dick to them. But honestly, you wouldn't find a better group of people. No wonder it's so fucking successful because it's a reflection of them as people. So other than that, I've been so fucking busy with work. I've stopped painting for the first time in 16 years. I used to paint houses and buildings and fucking anything you can think of. In that time, I got to do a few murals, which was fun. But honestly, I've spent the last 16 years painting walls white and recently stumbled into a change of, not a change of career, but a change of job description. So I'm not painting anymore. And it's fucking weird. Like, the job I'm doing now takes so much mental capacity that I get home and I'm not physically tired at all. Like, I used to get home and my body hurt, but now I get home and my brain hurts, but my body feels fine. I don't need the afternoon nap. I have to be very careful though, because I've always eaten like a fucking garbage disposal. Any chocolate I remember from my childhood, I'm like, I'm going to try that again tomorrow and see if it's still chocolate. Yep, still lollies. And now I'm just sitting on my ass for 8 hours a day. Like, fucking don't get me wrong. I think if the stress level makes me lose weight, I'll be fine. But fuck me. I've got to be real careful now because I'm not sweating my dick off for 8 hours like I used to. So, yeah, I've had no time has been the main thing. And like I said, apologies for not recording. I did have a few things in the pipeline that got cancelled last minute. And it sucks doing it without Casey because it doesn't get, firstly, shout out to anyone that's done an episode without Casey, but it doesn't get the downloads and it just doesn't feel like it's fully the product. And, you know, I'd love Casey to do more, but I don't expect her to have to do more. And I'm not going to stop because, like, I stopped last week and I am a creature of habit, and just missing that week, I enjoyed it too much. Almost like, and I know people are going to say, oh, you don't owe us anything because this fucking shit sucks. And I agree, but I really need to keep doing it because if I stop doing something, like when I was in a band, I was in a band for 10 years, maybe 12 years. And we kind of had a bit of a hiatus because the drummer left, like our 10th drummer left. And I enjoyed filling that time with something else. And that's what I do. Like, and I always feel I move on from friendship groups and stuff, but it's just that I meet new people and I put all my energy. The way I've likened it to, and God, this is quite deep and meaningful as I stare at the fucking poorly painted ceiling in my bedroom for someone that's been painting for 20 years. I feel like a lot of other people, when they meet and talk and socialize with people, I think of their energy as like the light of a torch, one of those big fucking floating dolphin torches from the 1990s. They've got this energy and sociability of like fucking really wide, you know, beam of light that can light up a like heap of people at once, like 10 or 11 people at once. Whereas I've always considered myself as like one of those mag lights where you turn the end of it and it can just shine like you could burn a fucking hole in someone's face with it. That's my intensity of socialization. I have not a huge amount of friends, but I'm really intense to those people. And I quite often think like, fuck man, they must get fucking sick of my shit. Like Casey, sometimes I feel like I'm being a boss to her just because I spend all my free mental time, particularly when I was painting and not enjoying it, thinking about shit for the podcast, thinking about like merch and all this other stuff. And I get, like, if you're not on the same level of, like, constantly driven, and I'm not saying Casey's not driven, I'm just saying I feel like a fucking huge pain in the dick sometimes because I'm like, oh, it's 2 a.m. and I had this great idea. I'll message her right now. And then I'm like, hang on, if someone did that to me, I'd be like, fuck off. No one gives a shit. Stop sending me shit. So, yeah, it's been a weird time and I've lost what I was thinking about, and this is why I need Casey because I've totally gone on a tangent. Oh, yeah. So mentally, I've just been frazzled and missed an episode, but I promise it won't happen again because, yeah, if I start doing something else, like which I spent the evening this evening, I was meant to record this about 5 o'clock this afternoon, but instead I made chocolate molds because I learned to make, this is a weird thing, I learned to make candles from this lovely old lady so that I could bootleg foot soldiers because I used to buy foot soldiers from the original Ninja Turtles for like $20 each. I army built. I've got about 40 real ones. I've got about 20 fake ones that I haven't painted yet. But I made the fake ones with these molds. And that's exactly how I've been making the Choc Tops for the Radical Rewind. The last one I made, the Turtles one, out of a yo-yo. Tonight I pulled the head off one of my NECA 12-inch Terminator figures, put it in the mold maker and made caramel chocolate Terminator 2 face. And I've even got the little the red thing that you write on the top of cakes. I've even dotted all the I's with red, and it's fucking sick. But that's what I do with my time. I fill time, gaps in time, with other things. I cannot stop. So that's why I can't miss any more DVGs, and I can't stop doing the ones that Casey can't do, just because I'll just stop altogether. It's how I live my life. It's what happened with the band. Like I said, we had a hiatus, and I just started doing other stuff, collecting movies instead. Like it's just the way my brain works. I wonder if I'm running from some shit I've just never faced, because I definitely suffer from arrested development. You know, people my age are like buying houses and fucking investing in shit and like crypto and all this other stuff. And I'm like buying hit machines from op shops and fucking making chalk top things. This is a weird moment of self-reflective. If you're still listening, I hope you're going all right, because why are you listening? Speaking of stuff that's not worth listening to, but you should definitely do it, Passive Aggressive Podcast. Those guys have really got it set down to like a fucking talk show format. They've got the YouTube channel. It's fucking incredible. And between them, Geek Dudes, Toy Power Podcast, there's a few others kicking around, but honestly, they are our brethren. Like, I know it's funny, like, you fall in love with podcasts and then you fall in love with specific podcasts. You get to know them. You name drop them. They name drop you. And it almost feels like this ongoing, like, fucking suck-off session where, like, we shout out the Toy Power guys. They give us love. The Geek Dudes have always been fucking incredible to us. I always find it interesting. Fresh is one of the funniest, nicest fucking dudes that's put up with, you know, the fucking roughest end of the stick when it comes to it. But honestly, there's nothing but admiration. But I also sometimes think about how amazing it would to have an enemy like Fresh, because I run off spite. Like, everything I do is to spite someone. I don't care what anyone says. Oh, Dave's not. No, I'm running off spite. 99% pure spite. I'm doing it to prove someone wrong, or doing it because someone said I couldn't, or I don't like someone and they don't like it. If I meet someone and I think they don't like it, sucks to be them, because I double down on what I think they don't like about me. That's why most of my mates' wives don't like me. But I'm okay with that, because I did it to myself. And I often think, like, Fresh, he's one of those people where he is so creative and so... His way of thinking is fucking incredible, and I think it is so... I have nothing but love for Fresh, because honestly, that dude has the willpower of, you know, 1,000 people all rolled into one. And if you piss that guy off, the mental energy that he could spend just fucking ruining the rest of your life, I almost would love to rise to the challenge. I never would, because, like, I like the dude too much. But, yeah, I'm really fucking tired, and I hope you're enjoying it. And like I said, I hope you're okay, not just because I hope everyone that supports me is doing well and supports Casey and supports the show, but I also worry that the fact you're still listening to fucking 47 minutes of this shit, this absolute garbage, I really hope that everything's all right with you, because fuck, do something better with your lives. Stop listening to this shit. Go listen to Toy Power, Geek Dudes, and Passive Aggressive. They're much better podcasts, but we just happen to be lucky to have you guys listening. So shout out to you. What else do I have on my list of shit to talk about? So I went and saw Fall Guy, which I didn't know was a remake of a movie with a TV show with a $6 million man in it. He pops up in the after credits. I was actually meant to go to the Australian premiere to see this movie, because Tommy Baxter, friend of DVG that's been on the show back in the day doing a guest choice special, he works for Rising Sun Pictures, and they do a lot of the special effects. They did the X-Men movies. They did the face swapping stuff from The Flash, and they did The Predator. They've done so many, like, all the big Aussie movies, well, not Aussie movies, but the movies that have, like, production teams in Australia, they do a lot of special effects. They did No Way Home, Far From Home, all those Spider-Man movies. So I was meant to go to the world premiere with him, but I think it's because of the new stressful job. I had the hardcorest fucking diarrhea in the history of the world, to the point where I'm like, I can't be shitting in public. I cannot be shitting this way in public, because it was like maybe every 20 minutes I just pushed out some caramelized goldfish into the bowl. It was just bile. So shout out to everyone that decided to keep listening. So I missed seeing that, but I went and saw it with the kids the night after when I felt a bit better. And I don't know, you know, when like I've heard Mitch and Fresh talk about it from Geek Dudes, like movies that are shot in Melbourne, you'll be watching like someone running through the streets of Melbourne and turn a corner and then they're in a different suburb. Like all of a sudden they're in like fucking this part of the city, and then they run around the corner and they're in this part of the city. Because I know Sydney pretty well, most of the movie is pretty much all filmed in Circular Quay and like around the Sydney Harbour Bridge and like, you know, that grass lawn area where fucking Mental as Anything's rock and roll music video is, if you know what I'm talking about. That's where most of Fall Guy is shot. And I know that the filmmakers, because they're obviously, it's the dude that did Bullet Train, which is a movie I love. I think he did Deadpool 2 as well. Shout out to the Deadpool 3 trailer, by the way. He, I feel like he thought, oh, look at these big set pieces in the background. But you also realize when you're Australian how they're just fucking tourist trappy. Like, no one gives a shit about the Harbour Bridge. Fucking, you can stand anywhere and see it. It's like the Harbour Bridge is a fucking character in the movie Fall Guy. It's in the background of like 30% of the shots. They're on fucking Circular Quay for the most part. Like, I was expecting to have like fucking, you know, some fucking Sydney, like, you know, wouldn't be surprised if fucking Cate Blanchett just rode by in a fucking rowboat in the background. It's such Australian, because it's about a movie getting filmed in Australia. Emily Blunt's American accent fucking sucks, like, hardcore. And Ryan Gosling, I feel like, I really liked him in whatever the fuck the name of that movie is with him and Russell Crowe. Good Guys. I thought he was great in that. I've liked him in a heap of things, and he's very charismatic. His recent Saturday Night Live is the funniest Saturday Night Live in the last maybe 10 years. Kate McKinnon's fucking UFO thing. Like, because, yeah, it's, he is weird in the movie because he's kind of just a, what movie would I compare it to? So for me, Fall Guy, if anyone has seen the movie Bird on a Wire with Mel Gibson and Goldie Hawn, it's kind of that again, where it's just like, let's make an action movie for dudes, but let's secretly make it a love story and make it a rom-com. So it is 50% rom-com, 50% action. But if you're going to make a movie about stunt guys, and shout out, the real winner is whatever the fuck that dude's name that plays Kick-Ass and Quicksilver. I can't think of his name. He's also in Bullet Train. He plays like a Tom Cruise type celebrity that Ryan Gosling's the stunt double for. And he's an absolute fucking cock. And he does it so fucking well. But yeah, the movie, I'd give it like 11 out of 19, because if you're going to make a movie about stunts, make it get bigger and bigger. There's a chase about halfway along where they're going through the streets of Sydney in like a skip truck with a skip bin on the back, and they're hanging off on the skip bin and fighting in the skip bin tray. There's a cool attack dog, which is a Kelpie, which is my all-time favorite dog, so that was cool to see. But then the crescendo is just not as fucking cool as the, like, middle of the movie. And that's a weird thing now. It's weird because I feel like the movie Roadhouse, the remake I saw recently, that should have been released in cinema. And this just felt, honestly, felt like a Netflix movie or a fucking Amazon Prime original film. It didn't feel big. It didn't feel like the kind of movie that you would go to the cinema to see. So it'll be interesting to see how well it does, because, you know, Ryan Gosling just won a fucking Oscar and everyone loves him from Barbie. But, yeah, it's just a nothing movie. And the other thing that was sad is watching the trailers. The only things for the rest of the year that I'm personally looking forward to at the cinema is the new Mad Max thing, like the Furiosa prequel, and Deadpool 3. And it's fucking weird because I remember being a kid going to the movies. Like, for example, I saw Ace Ventura When Nature Calls and Mortal Kombat on the same day. And that's the greatest day of fucking movie watching I've ever had. But there was trailers for about 10 movies you wanted to see. Like, there was even movies that you didn't really care about. Like, I remember seeing the trailer for Andre, that movie about the seal and that little bitch from Waterworld. and be like, fuck yeah, that looks great. And then the trailer for Angels in the Outfield and then fucking, you know, whatever. I'm probably mixing up the timeline. But there was so many movies to look forward to, it felt like. And now there's two movies between now and Christmas that I fucking give a shit about. And that's insane to me because everyone now spends their money on Marvel and these big $300 million movies and shit. Can you make fucking six $50 million movies instead? Give us a, and that's where I'm enjoying the streaming as much as like it's stupid. Like all these fucking Dave Bautista movies, like the one Stuber, that was a fucking good middle of the road comedy. Like John Cena's Cock Blockers, all these studio comedies that they used to take chances of, where are they all gone? Like it's fucking, it's a different time. And I'm worried about it because I saw this doggo thing explaining that like kids and the younger generations, and this is an old man talking right now, but like you look on TikTok and they're watching a movie with someone explaining something that happened, but it's split into two. And down the bottom, it's like fucking, you know, Temple Run or like Subway Surfer, like one of those games, or someone fixing water tank holes with like a fucking thing. Even trailers now, like you watch trailers back from the 90s, which I've been watching a lot for like the screenings and stuff. They're fucking long. They're like 3 minutes long for a trailer. And that's all you used to get. You decided whether you were seeing the movie off the trailer. Now, trailers have to have that thing before the trailer starts now, where it's like 10 seconds of the climax of the trailer, just so that people stay around long enough to watch the trailer. So it makes me wonder, like, where a movie's going to go? Like, perhaps 10 years' time, kids aren't going to give a fuck at all about movies. All they want to do is watch Twitch streams and stuff. And there's nothing wrong with that because it's progress and it's moving. But when does our generation's nostalgia run out? Like when is too much selling of our favorite things from our kids? I think the first time for me is I went to fucking JB Hi-Fi a couple of years ago and saw those Karate Kid Ninja Turtles. I'm like, fuck, if you told me when I was 13 years old, even though like Turtles were for like when I was 4 years old, if you told me that was going to exist one day, I'd be like, this, we're moving into the greatest fucking time in our lives. But honestly, like, that's the first time I was like, oh, who gives a fuck about Ninja Turtles fucking Karate Kids? I love Karate Kid and I absolutely will die loving the Ninja Turtles, but who gives a fucking fuck about that? Like, honestly, stop making, like, it's all these fucking, oh, here's Stranger Things toys crossed over with fucking Power Rangers or whatever. It's like, why? Stop selling us our fucking childhoods again and like at least make another Roadhouse every now and then. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens in the next 10 years. I don't know if there was drugs in the energy drink I drank, but I'm hearing myself. A lot of the words I'm saying right now to you guys, I'm seeing like a reversal of the opening crawl of Star Wars. Like the words, I'm not thinking about any of this shit as a stream of consciousness. And I'm watching the back of the words hit the microphone. I'm just like, who the fuck said that dumb shit? I did. That's who did. Anyway, I'll fucking wrap up shortly because, like, yeah, this has been an experiment and it's a fail. I cannot do this shit on my own, but shout out anyone that's stuck with it. Yeah, so getting stuff ready for Terminator 2. Shout out to Toy Power. Obviously, they got 300. Shout out to my late night wank. I'm probably going to go for some D. Williams. Anyone that knows that star, she's kind of a bit older. She's got massive rack, nice thick body, and a really weird face, which, you know, that's, she's kind of like the chick in Fallout in the sense that her eyes are all big. Anyone that hasn't seen Fallout or is watching it, when you watch that main girl that's kind of got the Zooey Deschanel thing going on, are her eyes digitally made to look like the chick from Black Hole Sun, the Soundgarden music video? They're fucking massive. Honestly, it was distracting. Does anyone remember those tire covers on the back of cars that were like a cat with giant fucking eyes? That's exactly what this bitch from fucking Fallout's eyes look like. And that's what D. Williams' eyes look at. So that's tonight's wank. That's all the information. Imagine having shame. Like, you couldn't podcast if you have shame. I often feel bad that people that are embarrassed to talk about elements of their life that do podcasts because you're missing out. Shout out to Jonesy from Geek Dudes, currently in the US. He's probably back by now, but he did manage to find me the problematic American VHS of a film I grew up watching thinking was super funny and super good and then realized what political correctness was. But it is the classic The Gods Must Be Crazy. I've never seen that on VHS, so I'm quite excited to get that. But also understand if you just left it in the US, because fuck Karen's shit from country to country for people. Can't wait for Casey to get back. She's recently watched Butt Boy, which is a current movie about a serial killer and a detective chasing him. And the serial killer has the ability to suck people up his ass. That is a movie called Butt Boy. She's excited because she just saw it. She wants to tell you all about it. And she also finally watched The Fanatic, the Fred Durst from Limp Bizkit directed film The Fanatic, where John Travolta plays a mentally disabled man that stalks his favorite stars. Devon Sawa plays the star. Shout out to the best scene in the movie. He listens to Limp Bizkit and says how good Limp Bizkit are in a film directed by the singer of Limp Bizkit. It is a fucking movie worth watching. Looking at my list on fucking Letterboxd, I've watched Screamers again from 1995, the movie with Peter Weller, the weird looking fucking, the guy from Robocop. I feel like he wore the helmet too long because his receding hairline is freaky as fuck. Double Dragon from 1994. I'm on a bit of a Robert Patrick bender again because of Terminator 2. So I watched that. And you know what? That is my childhood rolled up into a ball. It's basically someone took The Hideout from Ninja Turtles 1, where Sam Rockwell's giving out cigarettes, and just made a whole movie out of it. So it's fun, but fuck, it's terrible. Scott Wolf honestly thought he was going to be the world's most famous person, and it was great to see. Back in action with Rowdy Roddy Piper and Billy Blanks, the guy that did fucking Tybo. When I met Anita, she was heaped into Tybo, which is funny to look back on now because, like, it's such a gimmick. But then again, I was heaps into George Foreman grilling shit, where it was just like, look at all this shit coming out of the chicken and getting all over the countertop. There's no settings for heat. I just turn it on until it's almost burnt. So, yeah, back in action. Check it out. It's a fucking terrible movie. And I think Billy Blanks is the only human on screen that sweats more than I do. Oh, yeah, I wanted to quickly touch on, there was an episode recently of Geek Dudes where they discussed getting off social media. And if it wasn't for the advertising they had to do for the podcast and Radical Rewind, I would love to see what my life was like if I got off social media, because I don't think anyone's quit social media and their life's been worse. I can only see it getting better. So that's maybe something on the cards for the future when I have my midlife crisis that's coming any day. Imagine me with a midlife crisis if this is what I'm like normally. It's going to be a good time. Shout out to all our Patreons. It's funny that we had two new Patreons last week, particularly because we didn't put an episode out. That seems to happen every time we get a new Patreon. It's when we're not doing anything. So if you are a Patreon and you're listening, let us know what we need to do. What do we need to give you? We will whore ourselves to you. We don't owe you anything. But we love that you look after us, which is fucking bizarre. We haven't spent a cent that you guys have gave us because we're kind of got imposter syndrome and don't feel like we deserve it. But shout out to all our patrons. Let us know what we do. If we stop podcast, tell us to stop podcasting. If that's what you want, we're happy to do whatever you want. We got some cool sex workers booked coming up. I know that, like, I could say that. That could be part of the recording at the end of our show, saying that we've got, like, some sexy ladies coming in as guests. That's just who we are as people. Anyway, thank you so much for whatever this was. Like, I'm sure, I just hope my family can hear through the door, like, just the random fucking absolute garbage I'm spewing. Of course, until next time, Casey's coming back. And like I said, she's watched The Fanatic and Butt Boy, so it's going to be a time. Anyway, this is DVG.
Hey, fuckfarters. Thanks for suffering through another episode of Dave's Video Graveyard. If for some reason you like what you heard, you can find more at davesvideograveyard.com. There's lots of extras, photos, and a whole heap of dumb shit.
Find us on Facebook and Instagram and all those trendy porn sites. And don't forget, if you don't leave a 5-star review, you're a dry old mutt.